anniversary, come on. No, just want to take this opportunity to really honor Pastor Stephen and Big Kim for anchoring the church. You know, I remember when Pastor approached them, their first answer is definitely no. And Big Kim took forever to pray, and at the end, she committed. And I'm there almost every week as well to run the Kids Church together with Sharon. Sharon Rose is one of the person in charge for the Kids Church. We literally need different people to be part of that, and I'm so grateful for different one of them to really count one another to run the service. We are going to pray for them. You know, just remember them in your prayer, and I remember people around the community that you can invite them to Rimbayo service as well. All right, let us really practice one another. Now, what we can commit is to keep them in prayer. Let's pray. Father God, and thank you for open door in Rimbayo, oh God. It's really, truly you that make that possible, God. And secondly, we want to thank you for the workers that answer to the call and commit themselves and use their hands and feet to serve and make the service possible, God. So Lord, I just want to pray that God, that you continue to grow that land, you continue to bring people there. And the most important thing, oh God, we are not looking to numbers, we are really looking into life change, oh God. So Lord, our mission there is to really bring your love to that land and that community, and more people get to know you and their life change, oh God. And we also want to pray that the love of God will enter into different families there, oh God. So Lord God, use this church, use Rimbayo Church, that Lord, that we will be able to reach out to more people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Anyway, I want to highlight the other person just now, Angie. Angie was the keyboardist just now. She's also serving in Rimbayo almost every 1-2 times a month as well. So she's also serving here. Yeah, so we really need different people to serve in different churches. All right, so let me quickly go into the sermon. We are in this series called One Another. And just now, who is that? Samantha was saying that I went to Korea. Yes, I went to Korea. The only word that I know is 안녕하세요 and bow a bit. They all just bow only one. And I just very naturally, 안녕하세요, 안녕하세요 all the time. You know, and I want to, a lot of highlights there. I love the food, I love Korea, and I love the language, and I love the people. Not so sure, but nothing against them. But I just love the country. If I can, I will go back. Of course, here I'm not trying to promote Korea. But I want to share with you a highlight, and that highlight is something that I think is worth to share with you all. So one of the highlights that I had is All right. I went to this place called DMZ. DMZ means Demilitarized Zone, and it's between North and South. And that zone is a zone that technically no military allows, in a sense. It's a free war zone, in a sense. And that land, when I went, because it's full of soldiers, actually, it's guarded and everything. And if in order to go in, you need to sign up to a tour. You cannot go by yourself. Go by car, you cannot enter. And for now, they are still pretty strict. Only 5 buses can go in. Our bus is one of the bus managers enter, and I could see some of the buses being turned away, you know, and so on. So I quite blessed, you know, we managed to go in. You know, being a kids pastor, I like to joke around and run around, but at that moment, I tell you, I would just sit in the bus and let them check a passport and not dare to bring out the phone. I would just behave super well. And you can just flow with me that the seriousness at that moment, at that land. And also, I was told that in that land, have about 2 million landmines that was hidden by last time during World War II, the South and the North Korea, that they hide in there too, well, during the war. And so you will see when you're in the bus, when you go in, you will see that the fence up, and as well as they will put mice all around, and we cannot step into that zone. And so I get down from the bus, you literally just dare the fence, so I'm like, okay, I don't go there, you know, don't simply. And it's 2 million, and it's now, until now, still have. But one thing that really caught my attention is when I, on the way back, it's about an hour to back to the city, I really ponder about this, about how much commitment the South Korea trying to clear the landmines. You know, the professional actually counted, going to take about 300 years to clear the landmines. Because landmines is dangerous, it takes some time, and the process is slow. And they counted, it takes about 300 years to clear it. And also the information that I gathered, so South Korea, they are trying their very best to actually educate their next generation to really fight for harmony, not war. And so during the tour, I could see some of the school tour as well, you know, children were there and are trying to educate. So when I, on the way back, I was pondering, you know, I really thinking that, wow, it takes a country 300 years. Why do they really need to care? They can just fence up and say, this place don't go, and forever nobody go. I mean, we have quite a lot of land on the earth. But they didn't. They own up the wrong that they did, and they're just trying to solve the problem. And their military is still there, day in, day out, to clear the landmines. And then when I on the way back, I just thinking, God, they will commit 300 just to clear that land. I'm thinking, what are we doing with our faith? Perhaps why Holy Spirit prompted me is because I'm preparing for the stir one another, which is today message. I was thinking that, what is our plan? What is our 300 years plan? What is our 3,000 years plan? To continue on the legacy, or continue on to promote the love of God, who Jesus is to the people in the future. What Korea did is they really want to build a better future for the nation. Then I was thinking that, what are we doing with our faith? But of course, Jesus and our God see the needs of it. Jesus died on the cross, right? And then he paid for the price and solved, quote unquote, the problem of us that need to keep sacrificing things. He already see that ahead and he did that. But the problem is he did that and that is one goal. And what is some, we need to carry that things continue on. So that is our job, you know. That's our job. It's not easy. And in order to live our own faith, to be faithful, you can agree with me that actually it's not easy already, right? It's like, I still need to go to church and I still need to read Bible. I still need to like talk to God. You know, is this God really personal to me? We all are so struggled with just being personal to God. And now we still need to think about, I need to care for the future. Some of us might think, I cannot care so much. But today's message, I hope that we are able to see a little bit further, but at the same time, how can we be faithful in the Word of God, right? Okay, so past 2 weeks, we talked about serve one another and then show hospitality to one another. And today, I'm going to talk about serve one another, not stir fry vegetable, yeah, guys? Right. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is in the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. All right. You can see that the word, let us consider how to stir up. So stirring up, and stir is a strong word. It's a word that you provoke people, you challenge people. It's something say, hey, let's do it. It's not just encouraging, I encourage you to do it lah. It's not like that. It's, hey, we can do it. Let's do it together. You know, kind of thing. It comes with all this kind of thing. Or maybe it comes with certain words that we need to challenge somebody that, hey, have you been thinking just for yourself? Or are you been honoring God with your life? You know, this different kind of things. It takes a how doing it. And running the service is also the same. You know, every Sunday, every Tuesday, we have pastoral meet. We will talk about how do we make the service a service that can help people to encounter God more. We are not, yes, we are trying our best to see how much we can be more professional. Things are being done. But you know, the heartbeat of the church pastors is really, how can we always thinking that stir one another in following God, in doing God's word, and also honoring God with our life. You know, that is a lot of how there. And I will jump into more to really help us to see that to put in effort to meet one another, it will not go into vain. Right? Okay. And just a little bit background for this word, for this verse is, why was a book of Hebrew being written? Right? The author actually wrote for a majority of the things is was telling the Jews Christian. And if you Google up, it's actually for the immature Jews Christian. And some of us, if you have a little bit of background, you know that Jews actually one of the most early person that know about God, and as well as experiencing God miracle after miracle, take care of them so well. But after so many thousand years, the author have this word for them. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, You need someone to teach you again the basic principle of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. In today's world, who need milks, baby, right? In today's world, if somebody says that, hey, you are so baby lah, what does that mean? That means we are still childish. That means we are still not mature. That means we are still not up to par to eat the solid food because the teeth is not grow, the muscle of the mouth is not grow yet. We can't eat the solid food. It's just cannot. And when I read on that, when I ponder about that, I'm just, gosh, it is so easy, actually, that we can call ourselves Christian or we've been following Christ. If we so-called not consistently being in the Word of God and consistently meeting one another, being stirred one another, very easily we will swear. And we might end up to this thing. Maybe 10, if we don't gather together and we don't stir one another, continue to be in God. I'm not sure. Maybe 10 years later, if I'm the one that don't follow, 10 years later, somebody going to tell me this, agape, you got to back to basic. You're supposed to be the teacher. So my heartbeat is, don't be this. And I always tell people this, that you know, our own faith, we owe to nobody. Nobody owe you. We need to be responsible of our own faith. We need to look into it. How are we going to keep ourselves in God? You know, very, 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 very easy principle. If you want to diet and you build up your body, you got to do something. You got to do something. Okay, I'm not the best person, best example to talk about diet, but I guess it's just a common knowledge that we know. We got to look into what we eat. We got to look into what kind of exercise that you do. You just need to keep fit, and you want six packs, then you got to do something about it. The six packs of faith you want, we got to do something about it. And one of it is literally what the Hebrews say, that we need to consider how to serve one another and not neglecting, meet one another, as well as how can we encourage one another. And I'm going to show you another Bible verse. If we don't do it, that is the category that we are going to fall into. Not just being called baby, but it's another one that we're going to fall into. And before I show, I want to have disclaimer first. Sometimes it can be so easy for people to think that, well, you say that this is this. It's very easily being said that, you know, pastors or leaders don't understand and we are judgy and can be anything. But I just want to really make this disclaimer that, you know, when we share, when we put the truth of God out there, it's really our responsibility and really out of love. You know, I might offend people, you know, and all those things, but my heartbeat is really making sure that we don't shortchange the Word of God and making sure the truth of God being delivered out. And at the same time, we do what we can to help people to be aligned with the Word of God and the heart of God. Because God, ultimately, is not want us to follow the law, but is able to beg to Him, to enjoy Him. And when we are on earth, we can live a life that's full of freedom and victory. That is His heartbeat, all right? You want to cushion it first. If not, after that, people will say that I am judging. I'm scared, all right? Because I judge myself first. So Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26, 27 say, you know, if we don't continue to grow and all those, stir one another, this will be what we fall into. For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remain a sacrifice for sin, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. If you want to spend time looking into it and Google about it and ponder about it, you will be full of fear. Sometimes you will be scared, and sometimes suddenly you'll say that, wow, God, if I don't do this, you're going to judge me. And I want to say it's not about that, but we need to know that God wants us to live a life that is full of victory. And if you look at this verse, right, it says that if you already know but you keep on sinning, if you keep on doing what is not honoring God. And I like David Possum, he was saying this illustration. If we continue to do that, because he said deliberately, like, it's literally you are on the cliff and just trying how far you can go. That is called deliberately. And just trying your best to go, okay, you know. Perhaps some of you, you're scared, you'll just put a string, right, and then tie somewhere. But how thick is the string then can make sure that we will not lose our faith. And so So that is why it's important for us not to, first of all, to really guard ourselves, not to, first of all, go into the cliff. And I know that maybe some of us here like to challenge, or perhaps we, so sorry to say, sometimes we take God's love for advantage. Says that, God, you know what lah, I come back, you will love me. You know, and I want to challenge all of us today is, no, God's love is not just for us. It's for people around us too. So for us to grow in God is important. And as well as we need to be able to stand firm so that we can bring the love of God to others. So today, I only have two goals. One is, of course, help us to be faithful in God, to really honoring God and love God. The second part is, if we have the capacity, if our heart can grow a little bit more and we're willing to challenge by God, then we move into how can I go and stir others, all right? So, and your faithfulness keep your faith alive. Why do I want to say this? And also, it's faithfulness that keep you in God. You know, we can have faith, but, you know, faith can be just 2 days thing. But faithfulness is a long-term thing. Today, you know, I so on, come to church and Pastor Aga preach about this. Oh, I need to have faith. And then maybe 3 days later, we might also forget about live our own life. We don't come to church anymore or whatsoever for your own journey. So faithfulness is something that we got to practice for our own faith. And that keeps your faith alive. And not only that, some things that we might need to be grateful is, in order to have somebody here preach, we have a church to go, and we're able to hear the word of God again, the love of God again, it's really somebody paid the price. It's really somebody paid the price. It's because somebody stand firm on their own faith. Somebody take on the word of God and try to stir other people and try to preach the gospel. It's really somebody paid the price. And we can, if you can agree with me, somebody have sure engaged you before, right? Either your leader or somebody preached the gospel to you before, and week in, week out, somebody got to be here, right? To talk about the word of God. Yeah. And of course, the first one is Jesus paid the price. And that one, everybody knows it. And nothing can replace it. That is definitely one. That is the main thing that saves us. The second is, who take on the legacy? We have different people in the Bible. We have Abraham, we have Noah, we have different one, Queen Esther, everyone, David, to just to fight for God and the God's call that continue on who God is. And of course, and then later on in this kind of era that we have different kind of heroes in here, legacy that we're able to preach the word of God. And we don't need to think far. We just think about this church, you know. Can you imagine that if Pastor Tim did not, or maybe Pastor Tim and the team did not sacrifice, did not pay the price for the faith and stir one another, maybe this church, we don't have this church. Maybe we don't have Rimbayu, we don't have Churras. If Pastor Steven and Big Kim didn't pay the price of like, oh, yo, I got to lead a church, and really week in, week out, an hour to go there, we don't have Rimbayu Church. Somebody paid the price. And I know a lot of you want to honor you because you serve, because you are here. You pay the price too for your own faith and others. Somebody paid the price. And I here just want to, I want to continue on to say that it takes us to pay the price. It takes us to go to somebody to stir another person. And I want to close with two stories regarding to do something to keep your faith and the faith of others alive. And I'm new to pulpit, right? So I got a lot of stories to tell. So I can tell two of my own stories. Maybe moving in the future, I got to use other story already. You know, I want to tell two category of stories. One is, I think I take on God's call and I try to stir people. Another one is, I was just in my super low season. I need to meet people to stir me, right? And I just feel that both we can do concurrently. So the first one, stir. I remember when I entered into the working world, I was a young adult, and I remember what I know is, God, I can do something more for you. And one thing that I know is, I feel like in the working world, I can do more than just being on time and working and earn money. I just felt that. And I also felt that, I just felt the fire of this thing, this, I want to also help other young adults to also see that you don't need, work hard in the company is great, but that's not just it. You can do more than that. I really want people to know that. And so some of us here, sitting here, you are during my time one, you are with me, and you know that, you know, guys, I go out every single day. Monday to Sunday, I serve. Monday, I work, and then I serve at night. And I never really, you know, stop. Reason, because I really want to have more people, really want to have more young adults to know that they need a community to keep them on fire. Because all of us here working, we know, so tired. So you need to serve, so tired. But I know it can be more than that. So what I did was, I just go and meet them. I say, guys, let's meet. So it started with just young adult one life group. And I kind of see that the fruits of it, that we never stop meeting up. We try our best to meet up. You know, in the beginning, it's super hard. Nobody reply you one. Okay? Agape is texting me already, you know, coming to church, coming to live group, going to outreach, you know, kind of thing. And it was hard, but I just submit to God, because I know I got to do, because this is something I want to stir. I just felt that, God, that is the mission that you've given to me. So I do it. I just keep following up. I just keep doing things, keep doing retreat. And I help the young adults to see that you can live your life to fullest even though you work 18 hours a day. And from then I see the fruits. Of course, I even more stirred, right? I said, wow, God actually can one. You know, then I started to have this vision that open up the map. I started to see which young adult actually is working in, like, for example, in KL, in PJ. And I started talking to them. Do you see yourself to open a life group there? I started to, like, just go. I just say, guys, we need to reach out more people. Then I went. Then I gather people from PJ. I just ask whoever that's in PJ, can you just name the list out? Then I just meet one by one. I say, can you join the live group? Would you come back? You know, some of them is literally no longer come to church. So I just go. It's a guy. I know a few. I just meet them. I say that I'm opening a life group. It's a place for you to be able to engage, and you'll be able to share your life. Just one by one coming back. And just because I want to stir. And I know that before I pass on the baton to Eugene, it's from, I think we had about 10 life groups. And I remember before I move on, I was leading a life group that almost dying. A lot of people see, like, sure die on the life group. Then I went in and I say, God, can you tell me? And I'm moving on already. One, I can choose not to. But I still remember, God, you gave me the missions that bring more life to the young adult. I pray. I say, God, what do you want me to do? I tell you, 80% of me don't want to do. Because it takes a lot of effort, huh? And I know how to count the cost already, you know, a lot of effort to be in. But I tell you, God just reminded me, when you did that, it's because of you want to bring more life, and as well as you have compassion that people shouldn't die for work, but should live their life to the fullest. So I met the LG, I think 5 or 6 of them, only one stay or two. I'm like, 3 of us, how are we going to start? Then, but I take on. I say, God, if that is what you impress me, I'll do it. And I just did that. And I think grew a bit of numbers before I passed the life group. Of course, along the way, along the journey, I offend people. I'm new. I don't know a lot of things. A lot of people don't like my leadership. You know, a lot of words that I find people. I'm super introvert. When I do that, I was like, don't know what to talk. I even have somebody look to me in my face and tell me, Agape, can you stop talking? What I tell you? I was just here trying to, you know, stir, trying to encourage. But not all the time is nice. Maybe just the way that I bring out my the message, you know. But the most important thing is, I mean, I focus on God. I want to make sure that it's not about me. So I took on and I stir. I really tried to stir. And it was very happening. People love life groups. And it can be quite raw too in a life group. Guys, I'm just tired. I don't do my devotion. I don't have a relationship with God. I'm in a journey of really doubting about God. I'm gonna leave. There's all sorts of things. But, well, that is a place for you to download that and being stirred by others. So I'm glad that I've obeyed God and I do it. And now I want to share another part of a story that I was superly down and I really needed to be stirred. Not all pastors always do their devotion, okay? Confession here. We have our downtime, all right? Not all pastors are... In fact, I guess every pastor have their downtime, right? So I had mine. And I was ordained 2 years or 3 years ago to being a kids pastor. So I remember... I just obey, you know. Pastor Tim met me and says that I think it's time for you to being ordained. Okay. No, he wasn't like that. He just said the next week Pastor Joey is coming, you're being ordained. No conversation, yeah, guys. Okay. So being me, that just like to obey, not just like to, I'm just very obedient kind of workers. I just feel like, okay, because in my philosophy, I say, God, I don't pray to say go. I only pray if you have a no to me. That is really what I do, how I do the will of God. So, but I know prior before the ordination, 7 days, I tell you, 1 week before ordination, I started to feel the weight and I cry every single day. I said, God, this is so hard, so much burden. And I felt that the expectation is so much the moment you're being called pastor. You know, being called pastor standing on the stage, people expect you to be able to preach well and know a lot of theology stuff, which I am still learning. Stress. And I cry every single day. The day that being ordained, I just say, God, yala, I just submit, you know. And I know, you know, first year, it was tough for me being a kids pastor. I tell you, almost every single day, I want to resign. And if you know Matt, you can ask Matt. I literally always tell him, can I resign? Can I resign? How people will see me? Can I resign? I really cannot. It's just tough. I just felt I'm not good enough. I just felt that I'm not able to deliver, you know, the stuff. I just want to resign and I just feel like I'm not good enough. Can I just be somebody being at the back to do the work of God? I enjoy it. I like to serve. I don't want to be the leader. But, you know, I know there's a lot of countless conversations I have with God. I just went to God and cry. And along the way, different speakers, different people able to stir me, pray for me. And I remember one of the... And I just remain faithful, do God want us to do. Remember, one of the keys being faithful, doing what you do, and not to neglect meeting one another. So in the journey, I actually met one of the pastor. This pastor is a kids pastor about maybe 20 years. And he kind of led about 500 kids, children, church kind of thing for past many years. And he just retired. And a few months ago, I met him and then because I really need to do something with my faith. I need to do something with the call that God given to me. I met him and then I talked to him and he asked, what help do you need? You know, any concern? Then of course I just share a lot of things. And then it's not really all about the, because a lot of things that I asked him is about more of a skill, what to do. So he gave me a lot of tools and everything. But then I go on by asking his story, you know, how he keep on, you know, doing what God asked him to do, how he keep his faith, how he keeps his calling, because his journey wasn't easy as well. I say, what makes you to still continue to love that church, a church that is not lovable. He also weep. He cried, go to God, and along the way people, you know, help him. And not just that, he didn't just take care of the church that he's in. Somebody in Ipoh, he's a KL, one of our KL past, kids pastor. So somebody in Ipoh actually invited him to run kids church in Ipoh. I don't know how the story went, but it's like, why invite somebody in KL? And some more, the Ipoh church is pretty small. But then this pastor said, feels that he just felt the need of going. So every Sunday after his the kids church, because his kids church on Saturday, Sunday he will take train to go to Ipoh to run the kids church every single week. And I want to tell you, there will be week that no children. He still go. Of course, in our mind, we start to be, you know, apply like, why not five people nearer and everything. Let's discuss, don't need to think about that first. But look at to this person, the faithfulness. And I asked him why. Why, what makes you to do that? He just tell me, agape. If there's only one kid, I'll go and reach. He's in his 60s. Wow. For me to drive to Rimbayo sometimes, oh, tired already. You know, Cheras, oh, far. Wow, for him, the 60s take train, 2 hours go, he went. And when I hear that, I was thinking like, okay, agape, you have 150, 200 children is sitting there and some of the parents bring the children here. One, how dare you go and resign? I'm glad that I did not stop meeting people that were able to serve me. I did not. I'm glad that somebody's story able to inspire me to really help me to keep on. No, it's okay. No more drop already. Yeah. I'm glad I did not stop. So I want to encourage you guys. Two categories. Being faithful in God. Really. Being faithful in God. And the second is not neglect. Do not neglect meeting one another. Don't feel like there's enough. I just go can already. No. Or maybe we start to say, don't need one large church and life group or whatever. No. I tell you, somebody faith can edify us. All of us can. The matter of you coming to this church today, you already inspire the pastor continue to run the church. So you're stirring people as well. So I want to encourage you that be faithful. And second part is grow our heart. Grow our heart. Start to ask God, God, I'm here. How can you use me? How can you use me? If you have the capacity, if you're in the first category, then be faithful and make sure that your spirit is well first. When we are well, the church is well. When the church is well, our community is well. So we got to be well. And when we are well, really start asking. Even if you are not well, you can start asking. I mean, there are seasons I'm not well, but be faithful, God can heal and lead us. All right, let's pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, I first want to pray for the first category of people that who are struggle to be faithful. Faithful to your words, faithful to church, faithful to you, faithful to family, that whoever there is who are in this category, or faithful in the task that you got, that you were given, we somehow want to let go already. I pray that God, that first thing first, that you touch them. I don't know what they need, but you know. I don't know what their struggle, but you know. I pray that, Lord, that you speak to them, you touch them, you heal them, you inspire them, you send different people to be able to serve them. And I pray that, Lord, they will continue to be faithful and not quitting. Because when we are faithful, you will reward us. Because God, you are a God who are faithful and you never let go of us. I pray, God, that you lead these people, and they will want to submit to you. They are willing to be cut by you. They are willing to come to you and admit, God, I'm weak. I need your help. So, Lord God, that you touch these people. And God, I want to pray for the second category of people. That you increase our love for others. You increase our capacity. If our capacity can only love one person, then we love the one person faithfully. If we can increase to two, we love two faithfully. But if we can do more than that, I pray that Lord God, they will want to ask you to open their heart to do more. Because God, somebody got to pay the price. And we thank you that Lord, you paid the price. And I pray that Lord God, that we will follow your footstep to pay the price. So that our next generation, they will be able to continue to really preach the word of God. They will continue to bring the love of God to people out there, oh God. And I want to thank you for the forefathers last time that they kept their faith so that we can hear you. And Lord God, what are we going to do? I pray for that God that we will have that kind of heartbeat, one to live bigger life for you and for others. It will not go into vain. It will not. So God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for all these faithful people here. And God, use us as well, God. And we want to pray that we will be a church that bless others. We will be a church. The community will recognize that this is a church that's full of love. They are drawn near by the church. So God, help us not to neglect one another series. It's not just another topic. It's a life that we need to live. So God, thank you, Lord. Give us the ability. Strengthen us, give us a wisdom, and heal us, oh God, if we already lost heart for the spiritual family. God, bless us, oh God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen.